So what does it mean that France and Italy said today that they'll join Britain in sending a small number of military advisors to help organize the rebels who hold much of the east of Libya but remain in a deepening standoff with Muammar Gaddafi in the west? France also announced that at the request of rebels, it would intensify airstrikes on Gaddafi's forces. But what comes to mind when you hear military advisors are going? Maybe Vietnam, where U.S. military advisors led to full-scale war. The BBC's diplomatic correspondent Jonathan Marcus gets us started here. He's in London. And Jonathan, we're wondering if your countrymen might be thinking of British advisors sent to Afghanistan during the Soviet invasion.
Well, there's concern here that, I mean, what some people in Parliament are referring to is Vietnam. They're not referring to Afghanistan. It's the same analogy that's being made in the United States. So,
yeah, well, that's interesting because we were reading some British papers, and on one, a writer wrote, oh, terrific, military advisors. This is what we did when we helped the Mujahideen in Afghanistan during the Soviet occupation.
Well, except that was different because they won.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, we weren't losing a war there. We were interfering in somebody else's.
But as this writer says, we ended up with bin Laden and al-Qaeda armed and trained by us. I mean, apply that thinking to Libya. Is there some concern? Do we even know who in the rebels these military advisors are advising?
Well, I think there's still a great deal of uncertainty as to exactly who the rebel forces are, who's in control. But I think a much greater concern at the moment is what would happen if Colonel Gaddafi's regime remained in power, if he decided to turn his anger on Western countries by going back to supporting terrorism, then that's a very real and possible threat. And that is one of the reasons, it's not in the forefront of people's minds, but it's one of the reasons why they believe Colonel Gaddafi has to go.
Well, talk about these military advisors. We understand maybe a handful, 10 from each country. What would they do? What would they not be allowed to do?
Well, it's a mixed bag. We understand that some of the French advisers are already on the ground in Libya. The Italians are talking about sending 10 instructors. The emphasis from all three governments is very much on the sense that these are not combat troops. They're not there to be engaged in combat. French have made it clear they're not actually teaching weapons skills. So the sorts of things that all three governments seem to be talking about are logistics, organisational matters, communications and so on. And certainly from the sense of the thing that we're getting here, it's likely that these are people who will be deployed to the main headquarters of the Transitional National Council and will try in some way or another to begin to weld this rather disparate ragtag army into something that can be rather more effective on the battlefield.
Well, of course, and that's where the concern comes of the slippery slope. If this ragtag band of rebels can't achieve success, how tempting will it be for these advisors to begin to do more and more with them? But we also wonder how they contrast with other operatives who are there. Over the weekend, U.S. Senator Richard Lugar, he's the ranking Republican on the Foreign Relations Committee, issued a statement criticizing the Obama administration's approach, not clearly defining the mission in Libya, according to Lugar. Because while President Obama has pledged not to send ground troops, and so far no military advisors, the U.S. has sent CIA operatives. Now, presumably, CIA operatives are more about gathering intelligence than perhaps training rebels, and Defense Secretary Robert Gates has warned against training the rebels. But this has all led to, well, as Richard Lugar says, confusion among Western allies. What is going on behind the scenes, do you suspect? I mean, is there a sense of confusion as to what to do next?
I think there is a sense of uncertainty as to what to do next. It stems from the essential problem that this conflict shows no sign of ending. The great difficulty, I think, is that if you will the end, but you don't will the means, and I think throughout this campaign, the NATO countries and the United States have not willed the means to get the job done, if you want to put it like that, then clearly you are going to have these sorts of problems.
We're reading in the BBC Online that military experts are saying that just a small force of well-trained Western troops would make a huge difference. Is there any sense that there's sort of a winking acknowledgement that that's going to have to happen, or do NATO leaders and other leaders seem pretty firm against that?
Well, look, in public at least, I think the views of pretty well all NATO governments is that they don't want to have a significant deployment of combat troops. But I think, you know, there is this great problem of not perhaps knowing enough about what was actually happening in Libya. So I think it's that perhaps initial lack of intelligence that perhaps set the thing off on this track, perhaps rather unfortunately.
Jonathan Marcus, diplomatic correspondent for the BBC, thanks so much.
Thank you.